Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right. Hello, my dear friends. Welcome to the show. Don Bailey Jr. joins us in hour number two. The first hour of our show will be devoted to University of Miami baseball. In about 1 hour from now, Andrew Walters will deliver the first pitch of the game. Walters will start tonight for Miami against FIU. The Hurricanes are 16-8. They have won 7 of their last 8 and 5 in a row. So coming up, we'll have a baseball preview show for you prior to tonight's game against FIU. Gino Damari joins us in just a moment or so. He'll be followed by pitching coach J.D. Arteaga. And then Gabe Rivera, veteran player, into the lineup. One of the nicest kids you will meet, Gabe Rivera, an outfielder who can send the baseball a long way and can carry this ball club. If he gets hot, he's hitting .343 right now, 4 home runs. Gabe Rivera, one of my favorite players, will join the show here tonight. And then in hour number two, the third week of spring football, we'll discuss that with Don Bailey. Plus, the Canes will have their second scrimmage on Friday night. We'll discuss that with DBJ, as well as who is standing out. We'll talk about the linebackers. Also, a little discussion about one of the defensive ends who is making some progress. Also, an offensive lineman making a strong push. And about 2 weeks ago, I was asked, who would you throw the ball to? And I said, if the season started right now, I am throwing to Mike Harley, Will Mowry. Now, I understand Mowry's not in spring. Will Mowry, Don Chaney, and Jalen Knight until proven otherwise. A player is trying to prove me otherwise, creeping into that group. We'll talk about that player in hour number two. Also, Don Chaney. Speaking of Don Chaney, the second-year freshman running back will also join us in hour number two. And then Greg Rousseau getting ready for the NFL draft. The former Hurricanes defensive end. You want to talk about a great kid? Greg Rousseau will be with us on the show. So that is the lineup. Gino Damari, J.D. Arteaga, Gabe Rivera, Don Bailey, Don Chaney, and Greg Rousseau. Canes play FIU in about 1 hour. Gino Damari steps in as our leadoff hitter. Miami 16-8 for the season. They've won 7 of their last 8, 5 in a row. So, Gino, welcome to the show. Going into tonight's game, you've got the club playing pretty good baseball.
We are, Joe, and as much needed. We obviously went through a little bit of struggle there a few weeks back and kind of set ourselves back. But I felt like after that series with FSU, I mean, we had a long talk with the team, the coaches, and, of course, we made some changes in our lineup a little bit and kind of going with more veteran guys. And we've been able to get some more consistency in our lineup and just, you know, and we had to make some adjustments a lot. We just were not playing very good baseball, and it showed there. It came out that weekend, and if ever, I guess there was a wake-up call, that was it. And we have turned the corner, turned the page from that weekend. I think we've done a good job of picking ourselves back up. And really, overall, the whole team's playing a lot better.
We got to mention the mention Adrian Del Castillo and Christian Del Castillo. They are the first brothers to win ACC Player of the Week in the same season. And both those guys, it must be a family trait. They must have got the RBI gene because those guys certainly deliver RBIs.
Unbelievable. It's funny. It's true. Exactly what you're saying. I mean, if you want somebody up in our lineup of people on base, I would say those guys are the top two guys. They're hitting with runners in scoring position better than anybody else on the team. And, of course, Adrian Dell's been a guy that's done it for, you know, his freshman year and a little bit of last year, obviously, with the shortened season. And the expectations are he's our guy and whatnot. But Christian's been the surprise because of just how this has all unfolded and kind of fell into our lap. And he's been really well, let's just put it this way. We're hitting him right behind his brother. And, you know, that usually you do that with a guy. You need somebody that can swing the bat behind your best hitter. And he's doing that. He's protecting his brother, which is forcing teams, if they're not going to pitch to Dell, then they got to pitch to Christian. And he's come up in a lot of situations, RBI situations, and he's come through. So that's what helps make the lineup strong. And, of course, then you got guys right behind him like Terrell and Rivera and Gill, veteran guys hitting basically 6, 7, 8 somewhere in there. And those guys, if they can swing the bat the way we know they can, now you got yourself a really, really good deep lineup, a tough lineup to pitch to.
Yeah, Morales hit the home run for you against Duke the other day, 6 home runs. When he hit the home run, that put you in front. It also felt like there was a gigantic exhale in the ballpark. But again, during this winning streak, now different guys are starting to pick you up, and that's always a good sign.
It is. I mean, the more guys you can have get going, you know, you'd like, as a coach, especially a hitting coach, you like to have all 9 guys going at all the times, but that's not the case, you know. And but you want them to be given good at bats, and that's the bottom line. And I feel good about where our lineup is going. It's still not as good as it can be, which is okay. But I think we're in the right direction because we really struggled. Our approach just was not very good the first half of the season, and I think we've done a better job with what we're doing with our hitters. And the more guys we can get going and give good at-bats, the more successful we're going to be.
Well, it does seem like you things have settled down a little bit. And you mentioned the veterans, and 2 of those guys that have been reinserted into the lineup, and you're going to give them a chance. Rivera and Gill, both those guys were productive for you a couple of years ago when you went to the tournament at Mississippi State.
Yeah, they were. I mean, Ray hit, I believe, 5th for us in 2019, the year you're talking about, right behind Dell. And, of course, Terrell and Gabe hit, you know, kind of a little bit after that, maybe 7 and 8 or 7 and 9. But those guys are veteran guys. They've, you know, been here. We say veteran guys. Those are 4-year guys. They're not 3-year guys or 2-year. They're 4-year guys that, you know, we're fortunate to have come back. You normally don't have a lot of 4-year guys, but because of everything that has occurred with the COVID and the shortened draft and getting the extra year and all of that, we have, and a lot of teams have this same scenario, but we need these guys to play to their abilities. These are guys that had great years for us in 2019. It's hard to define last year because it was so shortened, but certainly Terrell swung the bat well during that short period of time, and so did Gabe. Gill didn't as much, but we need those guys to be going. I mean, again, if they're going to hit where they're hitting in the lineup, which basically is 6, 7, 8, I mean, those should be 3 of the better 6, 7, and 8 hitters in the country, in my opinion. And, you know, that's going to be a big key to the success of our offense. We feel pretty good about the guys, obviously, in the front of them. And, of course, Dom Patelli is swinging the bat better. And, you know, we all know his strength is defense. But I feel strong about Dom and his ability to swing the bat. He's got a great approach. If he can stay consistent with it, at times it can get a little crazy, but he's gotten better and better and better, and that's what you want to see, especially from young players, but all of them. You just want to see him keep getting better and better and better, so at the end of the season they're all clicking on all cylinders and they're at their best.
Well, I thought that was a key, though, to you juggling the lineup a little bit, putting Batelli in there full-time at shortstop. You know he's got the gloves, so as you mentioned, the hitting would come along. But I thought that was a really valuable move on your part. And then back to Rivera for a moment. I was looking at some of his numbers 2 years ago, in kind of a small sample size, and it was the tournament at Mississippi State where he had a bunch of hits. Is he that kind of player that – over a week or a 2 week period, he can carry a ball club?
Yes, he is. He's got as much power as anybody, probably in the country. I mean, if you ever watch Gabe swing the bat in BP, and he's got a lot of tools. If he could put it together and be consistent, that's the key for him. But he has the ability, certainly, for a weekend series, couple weeks, where he can put on an absolute show and just dominate with the power of his bat. And so, you know, hopefully what we'd like to see is just the consistency with Gabe and giving good at-bats, just not giving being easy outs. And, you know, but he's earned the right to be in the lineup, and hopefully he can stay in there and stay, you know, consistent with his approach.
We should mention FIU is coming up here in just a little bit tonight at Alex Rodriguez Park and Mark Light Field. You handled them last week. Your bats really came alive. What do you expect in tonight's game against FIU? You kind of beat them handily last week, so but you know anytime you play FIU, big rivalry and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't expect it to be 21-1. Right. Yeah. That's not going to happen. I mean, baseball's a crazy game. We could come out and play a 2-1 game for all we know. So at the end of the day, that game was last week. This is a new day and a new game, and we need to be ready to play. Baseball will bite you in the butt very quickly if you think you got it figured out, and we certainly can't think like that just because we won big in a score like that against them. We need to make sure we're ready to play tonight.
I do have to ask you, because 2 weeks ago we did talk about Palmquist, and I floated to you, would you make him a starter? And now I'm back in your camp. Forget that. Because he just overpowers teams.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our championship teams at Miami and the teams that we really made good runs at, we always had a very good closer. And I know the importance of that closer. Could be the most valuable player on your team. He's got the ball in his hands at the end of the game when the game's on the line. Now, I know it doesn't work when the game is not on the line or you're down and he doesn't get into a game like the series against FSU, and I know I've got a lot of heat for, well, geez, your best pitcher didn't even pitch in that series. Well, I don't plan on being down in all of our games. We like to be up in our games. If we're going to be down in all of our games, then we're not going to be a very good team. So the plan is – our starters need to throw the way they're capable of, which they will. We need to play good defense. Our offense is coming around, and Carson should get a lot of opportunities, and he has. He has, and he's taken advantage of them. He's been about as dominant a pitcher as I've ever seen. And, I mean, and we've had some dominant guys over the years, but and we'll go to him if we have to in the eighth inning, and we've even gone to him in the seventh inning with two outs where he needs to just get an out and go two and a third. The good thing about him is he throws strikes. He doesn't waste a lot of pitches with balls, so he doesn't throw a lot of pitches. He's around the strike zone. His pitch count has never really had high up. He bounces back very well. We do need to be careful in how we use him, which JD and I will make sure we do. But he's a guy that's, at the end of the day, should be probably leading the nation in saves. And let's hope that he's going to be coming in some very, very critical games that are going to matter a whole lot at the end of this whole thing.
How important was it that Fetterman pitched as well as he did the other day for you, not only for his own psyche, but maybe for everybody else? I thought that was a really nice effort that he gave you.
It was huge. I mean, first of all, he's getting thrown into the Friday, which he had done before. And again, what better person to throw into that situation when Rosario goes down? But Fed has done it before. Obviously, it struggled this year up to the point, but struggled some in certain areas more than others. But he not only did he throw well, he threw pretty deep into the game where it allowed us to not have to use up a lot of our bullpen on a Friday against their best guy. So, you know, that was huge, absolutely huge. It saved a lot of guys, and we were able to, obviously get the win and help us get the sweep for the weekend. But I mean, that's part of being a good team. You guys go down. I remember some of the better teams we've ever had. Guys got hurt, even championship teams. We've lost starting catchers. We've lost relievers and starting pitchers at times. And if you got a good team, guys got to be willing to other guys got to be willing to step up. And he did that for us.
This weekend, you play Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh. You're only one game out of first place. You're 10-7 in the conference. Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech are 11-7. So by the end of the weekend, you could be in first place in the Coastal Division. Georgia Tech is going to play Notre Dame. Notre Dame is 12-5. Virginia Tech has Wake Forest. So depending on how that series breaks down, but it's conceivable you could end up in first place by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, I haven't really thought of it. We're a half a game, I believe, back is what I thought.
Yeah, okay, that's right, half a game. Half a game, you're right.
Half a game, but that's because we didn't get that Wake Forest third game on Sunday. We only played them two games. So, you know, at the end of the day, we need to take care of each game. We can't get caught up in, where we're going to be at the end of the weekend. That you don't want to look at it like that. Obviously, we're looking at FIU tonight, and then we got to make sure – Pitt is going to be a huge series, but we don't want to get ahead of ourselves and start thinking, well, if we do this, we can come out of here in first place. What I do want them to think is we need to continue to play the game the way I know we can play, which is how we've been playing it, and continue to get better. That's what we need to do, just keep getting better and better.
We should mention on Sunday, Dubberly gave you a really nice performance. He went a career long in innings and had a career high in strikeouts.
He's pitched better and better each time. He's pitching kind of the way that we had hoped when we saw him before he came to school here. And he's healthy. He's got all three pitches. He commands them. He pitches in and out. The changeup's good. The breaking ball's good. And he's done an excellent job for us of stepping up and filling in for that, being that third number three starter. And so, it's been good to see him pitch and pitch better and better and go farther and deeper into the game. So very, very excited for him and for us for that.
How do you feel about this news that came out this week? The NCAA is going to have predetermined regional and super regional sites, and the location is going to be announced in May.
Yeah, May 10th. So, it's what they're doing in the other sports. It's been a little odd, but that's kind of, they're going along with what they've done in other sports. So, I'm being told it'll still be on merit and how well you're playing at that time, but it's earlier than what they would have in the past. Obviously, so when they select sites to host, that's normally not done until after your conference tournament. So, this is going to be a little different. It'll be while we're still playing, we'll still have a few weeks left to play. All we can do is make sure we're playing good baseball up to that point, and of course continue to play good baseball after that. But you can't really do much about it. If we're able to host, obviously that would be great. We'd like to host. I'm not sure how much of an advantage it is if you're hosting and you're not playing in front of anybody, small crowds. It's certainly different when you play without your crowd being packed there at the stadiums. But you could get somewhere where they are allowing big crowds, and it does work against you. So, at the end of the day, how we play will take care of everything. And if we play well, it'll take care of itself. We got a lot of big series coming up against good teams, high-ranked teams, RPI-ranked teams. And if we play well against them and win series, we will move up the ladder, and we should be one of those teams that's thought of in terms of hosting. If we don't, then we'll be on the outside looking in.
These two freshman pitchers you have, Rosario and Medeiros, they've been electric. I would imagine they've been fun to watch and fun to watch their development.
They have. We knew we were fortunate when they showed up on campus, and you just don't know how ready they can be, out of the gate. I think Alejandro probably had a little bit more head start on Vic than Victor did in the inter squads in the fall. Victor came on strong at the end, and of course both of them have pitched. To ask those two guys to be our 1-2, is obviously a big responsibility, but that's how high we think of those two guys. They've done an excellent job of handling it.
Well, you got FIU coming up here in just a couple of minutes, so thanks for taking time to join us to talk Hurricanes baseball and talk about FIU, and the best of luck in the ballgame tonight.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
All right, that's University of Miami head coach Gino Demare, and we will continue on the show right after this. You know, to win in football, it all has to come together. Offense, defense, special teams. The same is true in the luxury car business. Parts and service, the body shop, sales, customer service, they all have to work together. And at Williamson Cadillac, they do. Under the guidance of Ed Williamson and his lovely wife, Carol, and they have been doing it for 52 years. You can experience everything that Williamson Cadillac has to offer with its award-winning lineup. You can make a statement in their unmistakable XT crossovers, engineered to stand out. I'm driving the XT4. Or excite your senses in Williamson's CT Sedan Series, dedicated to performance. Or you can ride in the original icon, the fifth generation of the Cadillac Escalade. Visit Ed Williamson at his state-of-the-art facility, easily located at US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto Expressway, or view their entire lineup online at WilliamsonCadillac.com. Williamson Cadillac, where it all comes together. Your premier luxury dealership, Williamson, is Miami.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Back on our show as we continue talking about University of Miami baseball here tonight on the Hurricane Hotline. Joining us now, University of Miami pitching coach J.D. Arteaga. J.D., as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks for being with us. Ball club is playing well going into tonight's game against FIU, and your team is pitching well. So you got to be proud of that right now.
Yeah, you know, it's a whole new group. You know, we lost a lot of innings from last year's team. We're losing three starters and Tyler Kaiser, which is one of the main guys coming out of the bullpen. So we knew there's going to be a learning curve, you know, and but they're coming around and pitching better and really just getting comfortable in their roles.
You rolled out a couple of freshmen and made them – eventually they went to the Friday-Saturday slot, Rosario and Medeiros. These two guys can be flamethrowers. They are the modern-day pitcher, aren't they? I mean, their velocity is very good.
Yeah, you know what? They do have very good velocity. You know, I think Rosario is one that probably depends more on his fastball and throws a lot more fastballs than Victor does. But, you know, he's a guy that not only did he throw really hard, but he has great fastball command, you know. And when he's had success this year, he's throwing some fastballs just unhittable. And not because they're, you know, 95, 96, 97 miles an hour. It's just location. They're just in spots that even if it was at 85, they just couldn't hit it, you know. So he's had a lot of success with that. And then Victor is a really a four-pitch mixed guy that he'll throw any pitch at any count, you know. And when his command is on, he's really tough. And then you throw on top of that the fact that he is mid-90s, even to upper 90s at times. He's tough to hit as well. But, you know, they're freshmen, and they're going to have their freshman moments, and you got to live with the good, you know, live with the good and the bad with those guys. But the ceiling is definitely very high for both those guys, and they're going to, you know, I'd say they're the future of our staff, but they're the present, man. They're, like you said, they're throwing Fridays and Saturday nights.
Hurricanes are playing FIU tonight. J.D. Arteaga is with us. The Canes have won 7 of their last 8, 5 in a row. I know it was a tough weekend a couple weeks ago against Florida State, but since then, I think you and Gino and Norby have done a good job coaching the minds of your players. What do you think are some of the other reasons behind this streak of 5 in a row and 7 of the last 8?
Well, you know, that weekend at Florida State, it was so out of character the way we played, you know, and there's no explanation, you know, but we were all very happy with the way that they've responded and come back and are playing really the best baseball we've played all year. Our defense is getting better. We have guys, just like in the pitching staff, we have some freshmen on the two freshmen on the left side of the infield, one of which has really never played the position in Yo-Yo Morales, you know, so he's getting better and better every day that he's at third base. And you know, Patelli is a great defensive shortstop, but the game speed is a little quicker. And he's making adjustments and getting better, you know. So we are playing good. And again, this is the way they responded. That's something that we really preached mental toughness since day one. And we know it's going to be a challenging year with all the COVID things going on and all the new faces on the team. And, you know, we knew it's going to happen, you know, and we're very happy, very proud of the way our guys, the way they've responded to, at this point.
You've had a couple of guys on the pitching staff really start to emerge and pitch well for you. Jake Garland has done a nice job, very good strikeout to walk ratio, 19 strikeouts against 5 walks. What has Garland brought to your staff?
You know, he's a guy, when he's down in the zone, he's just, all the hitter can do is just beat the ball into the ground. You know, he's a heavy sinker ball guy that, you know, if he makes his pitches, there's nothing you can do about it, you know. When he's up in the zone, he gets in trouble. That's true for just about any pitcher. But the difference is when he's down, it's crazy the amount of ground balls that he gets. I want to say he only has 2 fly ball outs in 18, you know, in 6 innings his last outing. You know, so and he's just very steady. He's steady. You know what you're going to get. He's going to throw strikes. He does a good job of controlling the running game. So when you got a ground ball pitcher that controls the running game, you basically need to get 3 singles to score 1 run. You know, and they all got to be in the same inning. So it's tough. It's tough to score on him. And really, he was in there in the mix for a weekend rotation spot until the very last Sunday of inter squad before we started the season. And he did nothing wrong, not to lose a job. It's just Victor Madero saw pitched him the last time around, and he earned that Sunday spot.
Jordan Dubberly is a mathematics major. He probably likes the math that he sees on his numbers, 21 strikeouts, 5 walks, an earned run average of under 4. And I thought he pitched very well for you on Sunday.
You know, Jordan, when we recruited him last fall, you know, we felt he was the best, you know, right-handed starting pitcher in Florida in the junior college level. And we recruited him fully expecting him to be a weekend starter for us, knowing we were going to lose those 3 guys that we had last year. And unfortunately, about a week and a half after he committed to us, he had an elbow injury and had Tommy John surgery. So he's not where he's, you know, he's not quite at his best yet. And the best is yet to come. And he gets better and better every day. And he's about, I want to say, 14 or 15 months removed from the surgery. And, you know, he's in throwing shape, but he's not quite in pitching shape yet. But you're starting to see what we saw, you know, during the recruiting process. And he's a guy that, he's going to continue to get better every day. He throws 4 pitches for strikes, and you know the fastball velocity is, again. It's creeping up. It's creeping up there. He's a guy that normally when he's healthy, he's going to work 90 to 93, but can really, really pitch. You know, and he's done a great job the last 2 weekends, and even when he came in and pitched out of the bullpen, he did a good job. So we're very happy with him, and again, he's going to be better at the end of the season than he is right now.
We are talking Hurricanes baseball tonight. Canes getting ready to play FIU at the ballpark. J.D. Arteaga is with us. Okay, I know that you've heard this comparison. We've talked about it before. Not all of our listeners might dial into college baseball, but Carson Palmquist looks like Chris Sale, and I think he starts to – and he throws a lot like Chris Sale. He is just mowing hitters down and plowing through the opposition's lineup.
It's unbelievable the success he's had, and I mean, and really to this point, it's just been just majority fastballs, you know, and they know it's coming, and they just can't see it. They don't pick it up. It's definitely, you know, it's a low to mid 90s, and with whip movement and late life to it and great command. He pounds a strike zone with it, and the crazy thing, he didn't throw many pitches over the middle of the plate. It's from one corner to the other corner, and that's it, you know, and to throw another one on you for the prompt to Chris Sale, he's from the same area over there, you know, in the Fort Myers area. So, but, you know, in the role that he's in, it's hard to sit there and develop and work on his second and third pitch because, you know, let's face it, when he's pitching, the game's on the line, you know, so it's hard to go out there and throw a slider or a change up to try to work on it with, you know, with a tying run at second base or something like that. You can't do it, so. We were fortunate on Sunday. He came in with we had a 2-run lead in the 8th, and you know he threw a scoreless 8th, and then we put up a 4 spot in the bottom of the 8th, so we got a 6-run cushion, and we were able to work on some other pitches. And sure enough, man, it was just dominating, just like his fastball. Great, threw some great changeups and sliders, and you know his strikeout to walks numbers are just up the charts. And it's nice to know it's a 7-inning game or an 8-inning game, whatever it might be. Just get the Carson and. And he shut the door, you know, kind of like it was with Brian Garcia and Danny Graves back in the day. And, you know, having a great closer just really, it makes this decision-making very easy. You know you're going to at the end of the game, so.
You mentioned his strikeout-to-walk ratio, and I just want to put this number out there. for our listeners, if you are a baseball fan at any level, this number is ridiculous. Palmquist has pitched 20 2/3 innings, and he has struck out 35 batters. He's walked only 3, but he has struck out 35 in 20 innings.
It's amazing. It's what he's done to this point. And it's righties and lefties, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's at the plate. They can't hit it.
Let me ask you about this other kid that you bring in, Anthony Arguelles. He comes in. He's an outmaker. I mean, he just gets guys out, right?
Yeah, you know, he's a tough kid, man. He's a high school quarterback. He's undersized. He's undersized for a right-handed pitcher, so you can imagine for a quarterback, he's way undersized. But it's just a big heart, a huge competitor, man. And he comes in, and he's kind of settled into that setup role. And, you know, it's great having a closer, but you got to get the ball to him, you know. And that's kind of where Anthony's been at right now. And has a great curveball, you know, challenging guys with his fastball. It's low 90s, you know, and it gets on you. It gets on you. He hides the ball well. But the biggest thing with him is he's just a huge, huge competitor and with a big heart. And that's what you have to have that in that role that he's in right now. So we're very happy with what he's done for us so far.
How pleased were you with the way Fetterman pitched the other night?
You know, his last 2 times out, it's just he's pitched with more conviction, you know. And as a pitcher, you know, it matters, but that's not the end of it all. You know, it's the way you throw the pitches. And I've always, you know, I'll call every pitch that we throw, but the pitchers always have the right to shake me off, because if you don't believe in the pitcher throwing, it's not going to work. And he was lacking that, you know. It was kind of pitching not to make a mistake, not to leave a ball over the plate. And every time he did, it got hit. And, you know, now when you pitch with some conviction, you're not going to be perfect, and you're going to miss out over the plate. But for whatever reason it is, you get away with it. And guys, you know, just swing and foul it off or pop it up. And it's just the way it is. So his last 2 times out, he's kind of a lot more conviction behind his pitches. And it's showing. And he's another guy that's very competitive. So I don't know if it was the fact that he's been a reliever for a couple of years now, and coming in as a starter, he was trying to really lengthen his game and last, you know, 6-7 innings, you know, as opposed to coming in and giving it all you got for as long as you can and then handing the ball off to the next guy. But whatever it is, the mindset that he's in right now, it's perfect. And he's throwing the way we thought he would throw. And that's why we had him as our Friday night starter to start the season. But right now he's in the bullpen, and it's going to strengthen that bullpen. And we love a strong back end of the bullpen, because, like I said, you got a guy like Carson Palmquist, and you know it's a 7-inning game. You know, you throw in a Fetterman and Arguelles, and now you're talking about it's a 6-inning game. You know, or 5-inning game, just to start get you through 5, you got a lead, slam the door with those 3 guys. That's a great feeling, you know, and that adds depth. But we wouldn't be able to do that if it wasn't for a guy like Jordan Doverly getting better, and Jake Garland, you know, kind of coming to his own and being able to start and have 4 solid starters. Then it allows you to have a guy like Fetterman in the bullpen.
I find Fetterman easy to root for because he loves the University of Miami so much.
Yeah, he's one of those, you know, kind of homegrown. He's a Broward County kid, but he's been a Cane through and through all the way, man, from day one and from a little kid on. So he's one of those guys that, you're right, that his lifelong dream was to be a Cane, and now he's living it, and he's giving it all he's got. And he's been a joy to coach, and I'm sure it's fun. He's fun to watch pitch. I promise, he's giving you everything he's got every time he's out there.
When you are out recruiting and looking at, I suppose, high school baseball games or the travel teams, what are you seeing from the pitchers today in terms of their velocity and how young are they with high velocity?
Well, I'll be honest, I haven't seen a live high school or travel game in about a year and a half.
Because of COVID.
they've shut us down, man. I think October 2020 was the last time we were out on the road recruiting. You know, a lot of stuff on video. But, you know, definitely kids are getting bigger and stronger at a younger age. They are throwing harder. You know, you're seeing velocity coaches now instead of pitching coaches.
Is that right?
You know. Yeah.
What is a velocity coach?
They teach you to throw harder. They teach you to throw harder. But that doesn't necessarily make you a good pitcher, you know. You know, we've got other guys in the staff that throw really hard as well, at just as hard as a Rosario and Medeiros, but their pitchability is not there yet. And you get away with it in high school because you might face one guy per lineup that can catch up to a mid-90s fastball, but Yeah, that's all you got in college. You know, you're not going to survive very long. Or you're a reliever that you come in and face the order one time, but you're not going to trick him twice. You know, so you definitely see a lot of that. The velocity coaches, and you have swing coaches. They're not hitting coaches, but they work on your swing. But they don't talk about how to hit a slider and stay back and drive the ball. That doesn't happen anymore. So, you know, what can you do in a showcase? You know, so that's the tricky part. That's the tricky part. And you know, you got to watch these kids play. You can't get too excited because he's got a great arm or he hits the ball, you know, 500 feet. Can he do it in the game? You know, and that's the one part with this COVID thing. It's kind of taken out of the equation here. We get hundreds of videos every day, and this guy's throwing, you know, 14 years old, popping out at 92 miles an hour already. And that's exciting, yes. But can he pitch? Can he throw strikes? Can he spin the ball? A lot more comes into pitching. It's a successful pitcher anyway than just throwing hard. So. But definitely the kids are getting bigger and stronger and throwing harder. That's for sure. And that's from little league to, you know, high school, college, pro ball. I mean, it's a kid that throws 92 miles an hour now. It's a dime a dozen. Mm-hmm. It's just another guy, you know, in the big leagues now, every reliever throws 100, every one of them.
Yeah. Now, you know, to your point in terms of velocity, I always thought that velocity or a great arm was a gift. So if you didn't have the great velocity and you were a pitcher, you had to learn to work with what you had.
Right, right. And now I'm not saying they teach you to throw harder, because, you know, if that was the case, then everybody would throw 100. You know, I'm not saying that. But they are getting ways to maximize and get every mile an hour possible out of these arms. How long they last, I don't know. But I could tell you, I know pitchability is not quite the same. And it doesn't matter. In the pro level, the pitchability doesn't matter, because you look at an organization like Big Tampa, you know, they don't care. The starter's going to throw three innings, and they're going to run out to a different arm every inning after that. And you're never going to see the same guy twice. So they're more about, you know, great stuff from different arm angles that give a different look every at-bat. And it's tough to adjust and hit that way, you know. So and you can't argue with it, because they've had success. They were in the World Series last year and fell a couple games short, but it got them there. So it to some aspect, it works. I'm not ready to go that route yet, but it's you know, that's the game has changed. It absolutely has changed. Can't say it's for the better or worse. I'm not sure about that, but it definitely has changed.
Okay, you got FIU coming up in just a couple of minutes. What problems do they present in terms of their offense? Last week, your team handled them fairly easily, but, you know, teams don't often play the same way from night to night. And obviously, with fewer midweek games, this is a big one.
Something we talked to the team about, you know, we told them yesterday, it's probably not going to be 21-1 again, you know. Baseball's a crazy game, and every day is a different day. Even though you're playing the same team, anything could happen. But, you know, they last week they had three of the top hitters out of the lineup with injuries. I'm not sure. I guess one of them is back in the lineup, or he was this weekend anyway. But either way, there's a lot of local kids. It's an in-town rivalry, you know, and you can throw records out the window, and you can throw what happened last week out the window. It's a 0-0 game when we start off tonight, and anything can happen, you know. We got to be ready to play, because they're going to be ready to play, and they're going to want some payback. But that's just the way it is. You're wearing the Miami uniform. Everybody's shooting for you. Everybody wants to knock you off the mound here. So we're used to it. We just got to show up and play our game.
All right, JD, always great to have you on the show. Best of luck tonight against FIU. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, that's JD Arteaga. We will continue right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Back on the show, we are now joined by University of Miami outfielder Gabe Rivera as the Canes get ready to play FIU tonight. Gabe will be back in the lineup. And Gabe, thanks for being with us here as we preview FIU. Let's start there. Last week, you guys really took it to FIU. How important was that victory and the margin of victory against FIU last week?
Oh, it's a great victory, man. You know, to score that amount of runs, it was nice to see the offense completely break open. And, you know, we play them tomorrow, and I'm sure, you know, these guys are going to be ready to come back and redeem themselves. And we got to be ready to play just like every game this year.
Yeah, now this is always a rivalry. I'm sure besides playing against these guys in college, you probably saw them in high school or travel ball. How important is this rivalry with FIU in order to win these series?
Every game's important, but FIU, it's a little different. You know, a lot of these guys are local guys that we played against through high school and Little League, like you said. So, you know, it adds that extra chip on the shoulder whenever you play these guys. It's like another Miami versus Miami series. And, you know, that's honestly how it feels every time we play them. But, you know, they're going to come out ready to play. They're a solid team, and, you know, and we got to be ready to play as well.
Okay, since the Florida State series, you guys have won 7 of the last 8 ball games. You've won 5 in a row. What's been the change? What's been the turnaround?
I mean, yeah, it's never nice to have that happen, especially against one of your biggest rivals. But, you know, it's definitely a lesson learned. I think lesson learned was an understatement with that series. We got together as a team, and we kind of discussed about leading up to that point. You know, maybe some things that were a little off or some things that we wanted to open up and discuss about on how to improve this team. And a lot of guys spoke up, veteran guys, coaches. And, you know, I was right before the FAU game, and I really felt after we had that meeting, the team just, like, meshed a lot better than it had. I thought the chemistry was a lot better. This team just came together, and we ended up, you know, having a great game against FAU and going on to – like you said, seven out of these last 8 games. So I think really after our little meeting before we went up to FAU, I think that was a good turnaround for our team. We still got a long way to go. There's a lot of things that we still need to clean up. And we'll be all right. We'll be all right. And, you know, it's a long season, although we're at the halfway point. And, you know, we're, like I said, getting better every single day.
Gabe Rivera is our guest. I think this is more of a statement than a question, maybe more of a conversation. But 2 years ago, many of the guys that are on this team today were with the team 2 years ago. There was very good chemistry, and you were on the your team was ascending going into that regional at Mississippi State. Even not winning that regional, there were a lot of good feelings with this team. And then COVID hit last year, no season. How much do you think that hurt? Did it hurt more than you thought coming into this year, not being able to play last season?
I mean, yeah, to be honest with you, it seems like a blur. You know, it's just a bad dream that whole past season. And we had everything going towards the right direction. I mean, as good as a team as you could have. And, you know, COVID comes up and knocks away our season. And really, it's shocking. You can't wrap your head around it. I mean, I can't even believe to tell you, you know, how, yeah, it was frustrating for a little bit, you know, the guys that we had on the team and the things we could have done. But, like Gino always tells us, we got to be able to turn the page. And now we have this year, we have the 2021 squad, a lot of young guys, a lot of veteran guys. And that's where that chemistry really just needs to get closer, you know, especially us older guys with a lot of the new guys that we have being able to come together and, you know, finish business like we were supposed to do last year. And, you know, especially guys in my class coming off that first regional, I think we have, you know, somewhat of a taste of college baseball playoff. And, I mean, although it's a regional, it would have been nice to go to Omaha and win the whole thing. But, you know, you get to play in Mississippi State, which is a big atmosphere. And, you know, that was a huge lesson learned for us, how to, you know, playing in those type of environments. And it's all learning lessons along the way. But I got a lot of faith with this team. We got a lot of good guys, young guys too, older guys stepping up and taking lead, taking charge. And I'm excited to see where we end off at the end of the year.
Gabe Rivera, Hurricane outfielder, is our guest. You're in the lineup. Gino has you in the lineup, going with the veteran lineup. You are rewarding his trust so far, hitting .343. How do you feel right now at the plate?
I feel good. You know, I never ever want to be satisfied, and you know, I'm glad I'm able to go in and produce for the team. But personally, for me, I still got a long ways to go. you know, it's nice to be back out there in the lineup and helping these guys out. But like I said, for me, I still got a long ways to go. A lot of us too, we need to figure out some like minor details with our hitting approaches and everything like that. But with that, it takes time, and we're going to have that, you know, that clicking moment, whether it's in a game or a practice, and it's just going to, we're going to take off from there. But yeah, I feel good at the plate, and just, you know, keep working at it, keep doing whatever I've been doing to prepare up to that point, and hope our other guys in the lineup are doing the same thing.
I feel like with you, often the hits will come in bunches that you can put together. And I talked to Gino about this, but you could carry a ball club for a week or 2 weeks. Mm. Or even more.
I mean, it's, you know, hitting's a funny thing. You know, one week you're on fire, and the next week it's like you're trying to figure some things out. And that's the biggest thing Gino also says is consistency. You don't always have to get a hit every single at bat. You know, that's not what he asked for, but it's minor details, which is true. It's, you know, how you take pitches, how you look during your at-bat. Are you fooled? Are you on time? And if we could keep, you know, the positives during the at-bats, you know, going, you know, flowing and everything, it's going to put us in a better spot to be successful at the plate. So that's more of our focus, like what our focus should be is, you know, making sure that we're always going to be on time, making sure that heading up to the plate we feel, you know, good and confident. All those things are going to help us be successful, and that's really going to kind of lower the peaks and valleys that hitting has to offer and help you just always on this consistent climb.
You can hit the ball out of the ballpark to right field. You can hit the ballpark. You can hit the ball out of the ballpark to left field. You can hit it out the straightaway center. Do you know how much power you have?
Yeah, but this all goes back to making consistent contact. I mean, it's got to play in the game, and it all starts with how I prepare. You know, being able to, you know, focus on consistently squaring balls up, not treating BP before a game as a home run derby or any practice for that matter. You know, again, how I practice, how I'm going to play. So every day in BP, I really just go out and try to focus on, I got to hit line drives. I got to square at the ball consistently. When I'm in the cages, I got to square at the ball consistently. Any hitting drill we're doing, as consistent as I can, squaring up baseballs, not being consistent where I'm rolling over, popping pitches up, and I'm not having consistent batting practice rounds, because ultimately, you know, those inconsistencies are going to show up in the game. So I look at guys like Dell. You know, I talked to David yesterday, he asked me the same question and about batting practice. And I look at Del Castillo, and you want to know why? He's probably one of the best hitters in the country. You take a look at that guy's BP. It's probably nothing out of this world, but, I mean, every ball that this guy's hitting is a line drive after line drive, and that consistency shows up in the games. And, you know, you got to look up to people like that, and you got to see, you know, what their secrets for success are, and, you know, taking bits and pieces and learning from all the guys from the team. So hitting's a process, you know, it's never ending. There's going to be so many different things. You know, I could have a swing and an approach today, and I'll have a different one that'll help me be successful, and that goes for everybody else. So, but just right now, I think the name of the game is just consistent hard contact. More, you know, the more I can put the barrel on the ball, the better.
I use this baseball metaphor a lot, but if you hit line drives in life, you generally do pretty well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Secret ingredient right there.
Hey, let me ask you this real quick. You've got some young flamethrowers on this team, whether it's Maderos or Rosario, but when the game gets late and Palmquist comes in, have you seen anybody like this in your life? He has been incredible.
Yeah, to be honest with you, that's funny that you say that. I'm trying to think back on what kind of pitcher I've had the feeling of whenever he comes in, it's an automatic shutdown inning. And I can't recall too many times a guy like Carson coming in and knowing that the game is over, knowing that no team is going to put up a crooked number on the scoreboard. He's just been lights out. And it's no surprise. I mean, his velo's actually jumped up a bit, which is dangerous for him. dangerous for other opposing hitters. You know, he's got that funky delivery. You know, comes off a bit weird. It's weird for any hitter, a righty, a lefty. And that's what makes him so dominant. And not to forget the fact that the guy's always pounding the zone. He's never wild. He hasn't been wild. I haven't seen one wild inning from him this year. He's just been as consistent of a pitcher as it gets, especially in that closer role, which is huge. You know, being able to close out games, and that gives us a lot of confidence early on in the game. You know, not to say that the guys we have in the pen, that, you know, we can't count on them. Of course, we're going to count on them. We got guys in the pen, you know, that we could always count on them. I think I'm as confident with this pitching staff as years pass. We got guys with velo. We got guys with great secondaries. But yeah, you know, Carson's just been lights out this year, to say the least.
All right, well, we are approaching game time with FIU. Big games coming up, FIU and then Pittsburgh. And as I said to Coach Damari, by the end of the weekend, you could leapfrog Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech and be in first place in the Coastal. So some very important games coming up. Thanks for being with us, and the very best of luck.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
That's Gabe Rivera, and we will continue on the show right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.